today on Real Radio.
I believe from the scriptures, every true believer lives in a momentary expectancy of the imminent return of Christ. It's how you live. It's how you make decisions. It's how you live your life. It's how you spend your money. It's how you spend your time. It's what you do with what you have. Jesus could come back today.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message called On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready, Part 2. You know, the Apostle Peter was a disciple of Jesus Christ who later became the leader of the first church. In Peter's time, Christians were mocked and ridiculed and often tortured for their faith. But Peter taught them how to live a victorious life, even in the midst of pain and discouragement. In part one of our study, Peter is challenging us to be on guard, always ready to give an answer to our faith at a moment's notice, and to live in great anticipation of the Lord's return. There will be times when we are threatened simply for doing good, but when we know what we believe and are confident in our faith, our awesome testimony will shine through with God's love in the midst of a hostile and dying world. So today on day one of this message, Pastor Jack tells us that it shouldn't surprise us when we're being attacked for our faith. It's why we must have an answer for that which we believe and speak in our defense in humility and respect. And now in his message called On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter 3. And you guys know from last week we're in verses 13 to 17. And we're looking at part 2 of a message entitled On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready. I think that's the word that God would give us today. On your mark, we talked about that, get set and be ready. And we're going to see this morning as we get into the study, and it might be to the point where it's laborious for you, but this thrust that is found throughout Scripture that you and I are to be ready. The Christian is to be a ready believer, a ready person. And when I say ready, I mean ready to meet the Lord. Can I say something so boldly? I'm going to tell you, I believe it, and this doesn't make it true. I believe it because Scripture teaches me this is true. Are you sitting or are you standing up? Hang on, don't faint. I personally believe that every true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, A, has the Holy Spirit dwelling within him, within her. B, that because that is true, then the Holy Spirit who dwells in you, it's his job, according to Scripture, to get you ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. C, I believe that that reality, that is the Spirit of God in you, him working in your life to get you ready to meet Jesus, I believe C is the fact that you will live in a state of expectancy. I will not, and I refuse to get into a debate with people who want to argue about when is Jesus going to return. I believe from Scripture that he could return right now. But listen, you might believe differently. So what? Get a load of this. If you're a true believer, it's not so much when he's going to arrive. The question is, are you ready to meet him? And I believe, listen, this is the punchline. I believe every true Christian is ready to meet Christ. You say, well, I'm not ready. Well, you need to fix that. Boy, I don't believe you can come back for a while. You need to fix that. I believe from the Scriptures, every true believer lives in a momentary expectancy of the imminent return of Christ. It's how you live. It's how you make decisions. It's how you live your life. It's how you spend your money. It's how you spend your time. It's what you do with what you have. Jesus could come back today. But, you know, listen, we're raising families. We have kids. We have grandkids. We prepare for the future, but we expect to meet them today. That's exactly how the Bible teaches us to live. And if you have a hard time with that, you don't need to argue with me. You need to argue with God. You need to be ready. when somebody mentions to you, Jesus could come back today, you should be able to go, woo, yeah. If you can't go, woo, yeah, then why not? What is it in your life? Are you ready? If you're not ready, it's because you're probably not set. And if you're not set, it's probably because you don't stand on the mark of God's word. Father, we pray that your word would go into our hearts today and trickle down to our feet, that when we get out of this sanctuary today, the world will be affected by what we now know from your word. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. And this being on your mark, we talked about last time together that that would be the foundational stance of the believer. The position that you take, Christian, listen, the position that you take, the being on your mark, is your confidence. When you read the New Testament scriptures over and over again, listen, please, nowhere in the Bible does it say that you need to make sure that you feel good about what you think or that you need to feel good about where you're at in life. That is a continuous change in affair. But the Bible does say repeatedly, give heed to doctrine. The Bible says of itself, make sure that you hold fast to doctrine. Doctrine is a fancy word for teachings. That you know what it is that you believe and that you are on the mark, not based on how you feel. We'll talk more about this later today, but based upon what you know. And what you know should be found and rooted firmly in the Bible. The second thing about being set is that you are now set in a position based upon what you believe to take on life's issues, life's storms, life's decisions. You're set. You're standing on the foundation, that's your mark, doctrine, and you're set, that is, you're ready to fight the good fight, that you are ready to move forward, that you're ready to stand your ground because you are set in the very things of God, which leads us obviously to being ready. As I said earlier, the hallmark of the Christian should be one that is identifiably ready. We are to be a ready people. And last time we saw this, that if we're ready and if we're set and if we're on the mark, that we are not going to be surprised. Verses 13 to 15 is that we would not be a surprised people. The Christian will not be surprised. Nothing should surprise us. And we saw that three ways. In verse 13, we saw that we shouldn't be surprised when our faith is attacked. There's going to be an attack against our faith. It has to be. It will come. If you're a Christian today and you're not under attack by someone, then it's probably because they do not know that you are a Christian. It's nothing personal, exactly. They don't like the fact that you have faith in God. And we saw also in verse 14 that it leads to the fact that you and I, in our Christian experience, will be rejected. Now, I understand what I'm saying here today. You might say, Pastor, these are not real positive things. Well, I would argue the opposite of that. Church, listen up carefully. Is it not a positive thing for God's word to tell us that nothing should surprise us? I think that's a positive thing. I think it's a positive thing when I can tell you in advance that your faith is going to be attacked. Is it not a reality? Absolutely. Is this not a positive thing? Yes. And secondly, as I mentioned, rejected. If I tell you in advance, because you're a follower of Jesus, you will be just like Jesus in this world, then that means you're going to generate the same response that the world gave to Jesus. And that means the world is going to reject you. And so I find this positive. Thirdly, we saw last time that we're going to be threatened for doing good. Whatever we do, it is going to be threatened by the world. The world will not like what you and I esteem as good. Cheer up, church. The Bible tells us that in the last days, good will be called evil, evil will be called good, light will be called dark, dark will become light, and we're living in those days. Somebody say amen. It's true. It's true today. And the noise and the media and the broadcast of whatever, notice how goodness is attacked. It's really remarkable and so vitally important. And so we really launch out from that last argument of verse 14 and 15. It says, do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But verse 15 begins by saying, but this is in response to the threats, response to the rejection, response to the attack. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, which now leads us to our second installment today. Mark it down if you would. It's found in verse 15 and verse 15 only. And that is, if we're on our mark and if we get set and if we're ready, we're going to be ready to win the argument. Can you write that down, please? Number two is that we're going to be ready to win the argument, verse 15. And this is what it means, church. It's this. Please mark this down. Not to win the argument to win the argument. I don't believe that the Christian should walk around arm wrestling, so to speak, intellectually or doctrinally, anybody to win an argument. Do you understand that? By the way, this may upset some of you. I don't know, whatever. But I love watching debates. But I've never been convinced of a different position having watched a debate. Have you? Really? I mean, debates are entertaining. They're awesome. I go to YouTube a lot, and there's a lot of great debates that you can watch. You can watch debates with people like one of my favorites. You guys have seen him here before numerous times. Professor of mathematics at Harvard, at Oxford University in England, John Lennox. I love when John Lennox debates Richard Dawkins, for example. That's awesome. And at the British Museum of Natural History, you ought to watch it. It's incredible. Though he's now deceased, Christopher Hitchens. I love watching those debates. Now, I have to give you this disclaimer. Christopher Hitchens, he'll cuss and curse in his debates. Brilliant guy. But when he starts losing his debate against the believer, he goes into the cuss mode. But the debates, fantastic and entertaining, they've never changed my mind. What they really do is they give me more argumentation for my position because I'm very biased about the debate because before the debate even begins, I already have my winner. The winner is the guy that he and I are on the same team. Do you get me? Okay, I live vicariously through the brain of John Lennox. So do you, if you think about a debate. Who is it that you say, man, that's awesome? Listen, we had speaking to a gathering. It was open to non-believers and believers alike. We just recently had on a Saturday here, Ben Shapiro. When he debates, good luck to you. I mean, seriously, good luck. That's all you got. When Ben Shapiro releases his brain, stuff happens. And the thing is that when someone's arguing something that you already agree with, that's not a bad thing, but you can glean, of course, a good thing out of it. You can even glean a lot of good things out of the opponent in the debate. So why am I saying this? When I talk about argument, I'm not talking about you, Christian, winning a debate. When I use the word argument, I'm talking about you're the one that is offering the winsome, logical, reasonable answer to the issues of life. How many of us are Christians? Raise your hand. Keep your hand up. Every one of us with our hand up should be able to argue why we believe what we believe with a reasonable, intelligent answer to those who ask of us, hands down, okay? We're Christians for crying out loud. We're talking about eternity, and we're talking about God's eternal truth, the Bible, and we're talking about the fact that God, who exists, has given you and I, as it were, a hand up in this battle of ideas. He says in verse 15, but sanctify, we'll pick this apart in a moment, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready. That is a military command to the Christian. Ready for what? To give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear or respect, we would say. So first of all, in your note-taking, mark the word sanctify. It's a tremendously powerful word. It's a word that you and I live with every day. If we wake up to the application of it, it means this. To sanctify the Lord God in your hearts means to designate as being separated. That is to say to you in your life, listen, everyone, I'm a Christian and God holds a special separated place in my heart. God is apart from all other things of my life. The word means that God is sacred, consecrated as someone in my life. He is, we get the word hallowed, holy. God is made holy in the area of my life's living. The word means to be reserved in a particular place and for a cause. Church, let me tell you what the word sanctified or set apart the Lord God in our hearts doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that you have five different areas of life's passions in your heart, and each of them have a representation. For example, this one is fill in the blank. Maybe it's money, and you've got this other one, and it's education, and the other one even could be family, or it could, whatever it is, and then this one's got God on it. I like what Chuck Missler used to say, that God does not want to be number one on a list of 10. God wants to be number one on a list of one.
Amen.
That's what the word means. God is not an add-on. God is all that you and I have as Christians. He is everything, and everything else falls down under the sovereign reign of Christ in our hearts. It's the sanctification of God in our lives. And we're going to look at this to the point where you're probably going to be bored with it, but I hope not. If you want to just have a simple definition of it, it's this, and I love it. Dr. H.A. Ironside said this. It all comes down to this, and you might want to write it down. It won't be on the screen as far as I know. It simply means this. It means to be fearful of being displeasing to God. That you don't want to displease God. Isn't that beautiful if you think about it? If you've ever loved anyone, you know that this is true. Last thing you want to do to the person that you love is to be offending, to be offensive, to somehow quench them. And when God is personal in your life and he's truly Christ set apart in your heart, last thing you want to do is displease God. I've told you guys before, I said this often, that I believe that that right there is the greatest rule to live your life by. And I'm a big fan of this. And again, I just said it a few weeks ago, but please, I apologize for repeating it. If you're going to say, now look, you need to really straighten up and you need to get these 10 rules going on in your life and you need to get this little thing and it will shock you when you have a bad thought. It'll electrocute you. It'll give you a little, like a dog collar. It'll shock you. And I don't believe in that stuff. Well, you need to have this, listen, I know I'm going to get mail, but listen, you should have this program that doesn't let you go to certain websites. Look, if you have to do that, do that. You understand that doesn't take the desire out of your heart? I'm all for fences, don't get me wrong. If you need to employ those things, then by all means do it. But I want to teach you, I want to speak to you today about a better way. There's a better way. It's to love God and to know him so much that he's sanctified in your heart to where a thought or an idea or some passion that is offensive to God, you don't need an app for that. Because the Holy Spirit is able to speak to you and say, Jack, we don't think like that anymore, remember? Jack, we don't do those things anymore, remember? And you respond to him like that in a personal, interactive relationship with God. That's the real, real walk. And this is what Peter is talking about. Number one, validation. You'll need to validate your claim as a believer. When he says in verse 15, always be ready. I want you to jot down a few things. Always be ready would mean, and it does mean, to answer in any situation that presents itself in your life as a Christian. Whatever's happening in your life, everybody listen, whatever's happening in your life, you should have the answer. You say, well, wait. You mean it's happening in my life? You mean I should have the answer? Hello? Yes. Well, Pastor, aren't you supposed to give me the answer? I can help you. I can confirm to you, but you're the Christian. God wants to speak to you. And to be ready, to be in this place, in this point of being ready, is to understand this is happening in my life. I need to get the answer from the Lord. And this is important. Why? Because when you have the answer from God's word for your life, guess what? You'll have the answer and it can be shared with others. It's part of giving the answer to other people because you got the answer yourself, right? Now, I don't know. Have you ever had measles? I've never had measles, but how do you get measles? Anybody know? You have to get them from somebody. You know, by the way, can I officially make this statement? Is it nut flu season? Okay, between now and springtime, knuckles only. No more handshakes, no more hugging. I know you're a huggy church. Knuckles, it's knuckle season. Why? Because I don't want to get what you have. And you don't want to get what I have because I shake hundreds of hands on a Sunday and I just pass them right back to you. Somebody gives it to me and it goes right back to you. There, boom. Not good. But in a spiritual sense, you can't give anything away that you don't have. Always be ready to give an answer to someone who asks of you. You've got to have it to give it. You got to possess it before you can spread it. And God will give you, Christian, be bold in this. God will give you the answer to your life's challenge so you can spread that answer around. Always be ready means this, to challenge conventional wisdom that you encounter every day. What does that mean? It means the Christian should provoke the thinking and the challenge of what's being talked about. Conventional wisdom. Do you know what I mean by that? Conventional wisdom is what the breeze is saying, what the tide is bringing in. It's whimsical. It's we would use the word political correctness as well. Conventional wisdom, it's wisdom of the day versus God's wisdom, which is eternal. The Christian should be able to speak into that and to give an answer. This can only happen by sanctifying the Lord God in our hearts, setting apart, making it very obvious that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. Now, listen, the fact that Jesus is the Lord of your life, it means, listen, I'm going to pause for effect. It means that you do not put God in a compartment and talk to him or bring him out when it's convenient. When that's the case, when you bring God out when it's convenient, you're living a life that is unsanctified to God. You may name the name of Jesus, but you're doing and living and entertaining things that are displeasing to God. And that's not having him set apart in your life. So that when somebody asks you a question, they see your car in the parking lot, they assume that you're a follower of Jesus, they ask you a question and you don't know how to answer. How does that happen? You never sanctified him in your heart. It's just a religious thing. It's not a personal thing. And so you're not ready.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today. And when you keep the Lord close, you will never be the same. And others will see that difference that the Lord has made in your life. On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready, Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, when we have a distant relationship with others, we're not receiving the benefits that a close relationship can really bring. Well, you know, the same is true in our relationship with Jesus Christ. If we don't devote time and energy, we'll have nothing to show for it, and our testimony will lack the power it needs to make an impact in someone's life. Both Peter and the Apostle Paul understood this. A devotional time with the Lord is vitally important, and it's why Pastor Jack has a devotion guide at his website. Simply go there when you get a chance, jackhibbs.com, and click on that tab labeled Devotions. Now, once you're there, you'll find a verse and a personal story from Pastor Jack from that passage of Scripture. There's a new devotion every week. You'll also get previous devotions that you can tap into whenever you need to. And by the way, we'd also like to encourage you that when you're doing the devotion, write down your own story on what that Bible verse means to you. Again, devotions are there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Or you can access it through our Real Life mobile app for your smartphone or tablet. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.